Welcome to this week's podcast from Gospel Lighthouse Church in Blytheville, Arkansas. Let's welcome Pastor JC, Senior and Lead Pastor of Gospel Lighthouse Church.
Turn with me to the book of Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. While you turn there, I just want to talk to you a little bit about the peace of God. The peace of God is just so important in these last days. And it's important to realize that peace is not a place, but peace is a person, and it's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want us to always reflect on God. Aren't you glad that Jesus is our Prince of Peace? Yes. Amen. In the book of Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, if you find it, let's stand together. Let's look at this together. If you find it, it's on your screen for your convenience, but you brought your Bible. Praise the Lord for doing that. But Mark 12 and verse 30, the Bible says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And tonight is the conclusion of this series. How many's enjoyed this leadership series? It's been so inspirational, and it's been insightful. And so tonight we're going to be talking about part eight. We're going to put extraordinary into practice. We're going to put this into practice. And so we're going to need the Lord's help tonight as we minister this word. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for the reading of your word. Thank you for this entire series. It's taken us several weeks to complete it, but we're grateful that you have led us and you're guiding us and you're directing us. Continue to bring all things back to our remembrance. Whatsoever has been spoken, whatsoever has been written, give us insight for our eyesight. Open our ears that we may hear what you are saying to the church. And when we leave this place, we'll continue to bear much fruit and we'll continue to operate in your gifts. So confirm your word with signs and wonders. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody says, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for standing in reverence at the reading of God's word. So we're saying this, that the difference between ordinary and extraordinary is the extra. That's right. And leadership is an invitation to greatness that we extend to others. Now, we've been defining extraordinary as going beyond what is usual, regular, or customary. It is exceptional to a very marked extent. It is rare. It's uncommon. It's unique. And the crucial fact, the important, I think, premise of this whole teaching, as we've been saying, is that God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things in the lives of others. And I'm grateful for that. And this coming Sunday, we're going to be talking a little bit about that component. Now, the challenge of leadership is to be strong but not rude, be kind but not weak, be bold but not a bully, be thoughtful but not lazy, be humble but not timid, be proud but not arrogant, have some humor but without folly. And so these writers, Kuzes and Posner, they wrote this. They said, leadership is not the private reserve of a few charismatic men and women. It is a process of ordinary people. It is a process of ordinary people use when they are bringing forth the best from themselves and others. When the leader in everyone is liberated, extraordinary things happen. And I love this. I love this idea of finding that liberation as a leader. Another team of writes this. They write, and they are called the Strong and DeSico, and they write this. They say that's what leadership is all about, is identifying quality people, giving them the opportunity and experience to create and develop to continue to make the company successful. The best leaders identify and mentor potential leaders. A leader's most important legacy is the leader he or she develops. And that is what I'm doing. That is a season I am right now. I'm going to approach some people in our church, younger people in our church, and begin to pull on them and give them the opportunity to lead. And so the test of real heart, the test of a real soul, the test of a real mind and strength is this. Leadership is in our longevity, and we know we have to be in it for the long haul. We really do. Leaders must be tough enough to fight. We must be tender enough to cry. We must be human enough to make mistakes, yet humble enough to admit them. Strong enough to absorb the pain and resilient enough to back and keep moving. And so I think how important, how crucial this is to find that resiliency in our lives. So there's four ways to discover, and it's going to be on your screen, four ways to discover your strengths and weaknesses as an extraordinary leader. Number one, and as we are moving from extraordinary or ordinary to extraordinary, and we're putting it into practice, here they are. Number one, identify. Everybody say identify. Identify which of the dimensions you're stronger in. Number two, learn. Everybody say learn. Learn more about the other dimensions you aren't strong in. Number three, understand. Everybody say understand. Understand the potential liability of your strength. In other words, a gift in disproportion becomes a liability rather than an asset. And that is so, oh boy, that is so true. Number four, bring. Everybody say bring. Bring people around you who balance your leadership, who balance your leadership. So the growth and development, and it's going to be on your next screen, the growth and development of people in the highest calling of is the highest calling of leadership. And that's what I love. That's what I love to be able to see these young people. When I was a youth pastor here many years ago, we did what was called Blaze. And I love being a part of Blaze. And what we did is we spent a Tuesday night, once a week, a Tuesday night, and we began to just teach those that were involved, teach them about ministry. And many of those that we taught are now in ministry. And it's just amazing how God, you know, used us to do that. But I would teach them, and I always found joy to see them being used, right? To being used of the Lord, whether it was behind a pulpit, whether it was behind an instrument, or if it was teaching a class, or just leading somebody to the Lord. I always found that so joyful. And so this brings me to my life point. Great leaders develop leaders. Great leaders develop leaders. One of the greatest joys and privileges as a leader is to see other leaders grow. We love other leaders well when we are intentional about developing them. And that's why you hear me say some of the things that I say, and it may seem a little harsh. It may seem a little, you know, I don't know, come across a little bold. But I believe in you, and I want the best for you. And I believe that God has great things in store for your life. And so that's why I'm kind of bold in some of my projections when I'm behind the pulpit. And so I want to be intentional about developing people. I want to be intentional. I want to give it to them straightforward. I don't want to pull any punches. I just want to say, hey, this is it. And Jesus, when he went to the cross for us, it wasn't a casual walk down the Via Della Rosa, was it? It wasn't a casual walk carrying the cross. He just didn't half-hearted it. He did it with all of his heart, all of his might, all of his soul, all of his strength, because he loves us. And so I think that's important for us. So God's word is our map, and this has been our map to help us develop other leaders. In Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, it said, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? With all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. And this is the first commandment." Then he says the second commandment is this, is thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, and there is none other commandment greater than these. And so this is beautiful. I love the author of this series, because it really helps us to understand what true Christian, true Christ-like leadership is all about. So there's nine ways to put extraordinary into practice. It's going to be on your screen one more time. Number one, relentlessly believe. Relentlessly believe. Just have to believe. You have to believe. Be relentless about your faith in God, especially. Number two, readily teach. You're always teaching. I was reading that scripture a few days ago about always being able to give somebody an answer for your faith. Always ready to teach. Always ready to instruct. Number three, strategically hire. And as you recruit and interview, look for team members who will bring strength in the dimensions that you're weak in as a team. And even if we're not hiring, we have volunteers on our team, I'm looking for I'm being very strategic about it. I don't want somebody that is double-minded. I don't want somebody that's wishy-washy. I don't want somebody that's going to pollute the team. I want somebody that's going to be faithful. I want somebody that's going to support the vision, that's going to get behind, that absolutely loves people, loves the church. I don't want complainers. I don't want people that are pretending and being fake. God, I see right through it. I see right through it. And I know that God will help me and guide. You know, that is so important for us even in these last days, because there are so many wolves in sheep's clothing. Amen? And there's people out there that really want to do you harm. You know, the bottom line is this. People want power. People want authority. People want to be in control. And they'll manipulate you. They'll intimidate you. They'll do whatever they can do to try to get their way. And you've got to... You know what that is? That is a spirit of witchcraft. And you've got to bind that demonic power and cast that devil out. And you'll see it happen when you begin to take authority and walk in that authority in your life. Number four... Purposefully mentoring others means keeping your eyes open for leaders a step or two behind you who would benefit from your influence. I remember, oh man, this has been some years ago, but I remember I kept thinking about this. I don't know why I'm saying this, but I think it's important. We had some activity at the church when we lived over on Terry Lane, and I was coming every day to the church. And even Aaron Brassfield said, he said, Pastor JC, you're spending too many hours at the church. There's one time I spent 16 hours in the office working and doing things, and he just told me, he said, hey, you're spending way too much time here. And I said, hey, these things got to get done. And when I'm at home, I'm spending, hours, I'm always working. But I'll never forget the way I felt when I was walking in and walking away from the office and the pastor's office. I always had this thought. I was always looking over my shoulder. Like, I felt like somebody was watching me. Somebody was following me. Especially when we had a lot of activity going on here. You know, they're stealing air conditioners. They're breaking into people's cars and breaking into people's houses, shooting guns, you know, through the windows and stuff. And I always had that feeling that somebody was watching over me. I was looking over my shoulder. And I want you to see this, but not in a fearful way. I want you to see this in a positive way. I want you to always be looking kind of over your shoulder, because somebody's following you. Do you know that? Somebody is watching you, and somebody is always following you. And so you need to realize that. You're influencing people. Look for ways to help develop leaders win. One of the good things is do this, and I do this with our children on Wednesday nights. I do this with our youth when I'm in touch with them and I get to talk to them. I do this with our leaders. I want them to be able to, and it's just something that I've learned a long time ago, but I want to hang the fruit low for their lives. Because so many times in life we have our fruit hanging up too high, Brother Dale, right? Where these individuals can't reach him. And so we want to teach them to be able to grasp low-hanging fruit in their life. Because then they feel accomplished. They feel successful. And I think that's important. And so look for ways to help develop leaders win. Pave the way for them by giving them helpful advice or insight into situations that they're facing, right? Or even that you've faced before. Number five is this, consistently coach. Number six, relentlessly realign. Always, boy, that's a mouthful when you look at realignment. Always be evaluating your staff members to look for better alignment of their gifts and strength with the needs of the organization. There have been times that I had people on staff that were on paid staff, and then I would have an outside person that they were connected with, or whether it was a college or it was part of their job or whatever it was. And then they would send me these evaluation forms, and I would have to write out, you know, evaluation forms about that person and how they're doing, how they're fitting in at our church. And I remember doing that, and I would just be honest. It's easy to just always just write down, but I want to think it through and be honest with them. And I think that helps them. You're aligning, because this brings me to the next one. When misalignment takes place, it discourages your best leaders. And so we have to be on top of things. We have to be on top of things. It's so important to do that. I guess probably for me, when I began leading, when I was thrust into leadership, I was a young man, and it just happened in a small scale at a little church. This little church that I attended, they had no piano players. They had a lady that stood behind a wooden pulpit and would sing out of the blue hymnals, highway hymnals, whatever those are called. And she would sing the song, and I'll never forget the pastor. I'm only 19 years old, and the pastor told me, he said, "Hey, we've been praying that God would send a piano player to our church." And all I knew how to do was chord. I knew some of the fancy stuff, but I was learning just young in the Lord. It was so amazing, though, what this pastor was sharing with us. He said, "We've been praying for God would send us a piano player." And all of a sudden, when I had came, there were other people that came. And it turned out that there were at least five people that could play the piano that all came at the same time. And it was just amazing. They were just so excited about God sending. And so I went from just from playing the piano to playing the bass and then playing a guitar. And we just kind of rotated and shared. And that little area of my life, during that time, I developed something about being on a team when it comes to church, learning to lead, learning to walk in harmony, learning to feel the presence of the Lord and the Spirit of the Lord, getting behind the pastor and knowing how to flow with the pastor. And then lo and behold, after all that, a couple of years of doing that, now here we are, I've always been involved in training our kids or training students or teaching somebody some level of music. And it's just amazing how God will use that component in my life to be able to share what I've learned, to broaden my horizons. And, the Word tells us, and I heard a pastor say it this morning, your gift, makes room for you. And so I just want to be obedient and be used for the Lord. And so I want to be able to align the right way. Number seven, bravely break up. Anybody like breakups? Nobody does. And even in an organization such as a church, you look at it as a marriage sometimes. And those are difficult times when you have to leave or you have to break loose and bravely break up. Breakups are inevitable. They will always happen. They will always happen. Despite your best intentions to build a great team, there will be times when you need to part ways with staff members. I've seen it over and over. It's been hard. It's been difficult. You've invested. I've heard people talk about this even on social media. Pastors that invested their entire life, invested their time in people's marriages, and they come and then next thing you know they get mad and they offended and then they leave. And it's the same with people on your staff. Sometimes they get offended and you just have to understand, despite your best intentions, when you're building a great team, there will always be those times that there is a need to part ways. Brother Craig told me one time when I first came, but Pastor Craig, if you don't know him, he used to pastor here. At a total of 9 years, he was a pastor. He was my pastor, my senior pastor, when I was a youth pastor, a great man of God. But I'll never forget when I first came on board as a youth pastor, and they voted me in and had a great time. Everybody was kind of a honeymoon time for us. I talked to him a little bit about the church structure, and I was just kind of wanted to get feedback from him in my own way, not just sitting down with a notebook and say, "Hey, dude, I need this." Just in my own way, I just wanted to hear him talk. And I'll never forget him telling me, he said, when we were searching for youth pastors, he said, "Well, I came on board and I felt, the Lord leading us to hire a youth pastor part-time and work with the youth." And he said that, a couple that was attending there that was in charge of the youth, they came to the office and they said, Pastor Craig, we feel like it's time for us to leave. And that was obviously a blow. I mean, he just came here and he was wanting to be used of the Lord. And this is a great, great couple that was being used with the youth at the time. And He said he looked across the desk when they told him that. He said, "Oh no, are you serious? You're leaving?" He said, "I'm leaving too." And he said, when he said that, their eyes just went bug-eyed and their mouths dropped open. And of course, he was only joking, but what he was doing was deflecting that situation, just because how hard it is as a pastor when you have to approach people, or when people approach you and say, "Hey, it's time to leave." And so you learn a lot of things. And one of the things I asked Pastor Craig about, that's what sparked all this anyway, I said, when do you know it's time to leave as a pastor? And he said, "That's a good question, because you never know. Pastors leave too early and pastors stay too long." And I realized the truth of that. But I also believe this. I believe pastors don't stay long enough. I believe that we're in a day and time, Brother Dale, that pastors are quitting way too early. And they're giving up way too early. I always said this, and I've told every congregation that I've pastored, your first day on the job as a senior lead pastor is 2 years. 2 years. 2 years. It takes 2 years, at least 2 years, to get to know the congregation, get to know the people, to be able to be there for them. That's just it. But you should be prepared. Just kind of like what Adrian Rogers said, I shared that with you a while back. He said, be prepared to stay there the entire life, and then also be prepared to stay there for your next 15 minutes. But anyway, I think that's kind of a neat perspective, if you will. Number 8, embrace seasons. As an extraordinary leader, it's crucial to understand the rhythm of seasons. Embrace those seasons. Embrace them. Enjoy those moments, those times. In my season of my life right now, I can't believe my boys, they're in college. One is about to graduate soon with his master's. Levi's about to graduate not only with his bachelor's but with his master's. We didn't even know he got his associate's degree until something came in the mail. He doesn't talk all about that. That's not his push. He wants to be a lawyer. He wants to be a very good lawyer. Not only that, he wants to go in further in his career, possibly in politics. And same with Caleb. Caleb at first he didn't know what he was going to do. And then all of a sudden he felt impressed to go into the medical field. And he's going to get his Bachelor of Science in, nursing, and then possibly move on from that. But anyway, I just can't believe that they are both in college now. What was the name of that barbecue over here at Hayes, Brother Vernon? The older man and the older woman had that little barbecue stand. I can't remember the name of it, but it was over here at the Hayes. Yeah, and it was good. He had really good barbecue. And I would be over at the office, and Sister Rhonda or Sister, pretty much Rhonda was there during the time. And I had Caleb with me, and he was just a little boy. He's 3 years old. And we would leave and then go, and this is before Macy was born, and then we would go get us a barbecue sandwich, and then we would go home, and it's always a barbecue sandwich. We always got it around 3 o'clock. We didn't ever eat at noon, bless his heart, but we'd get it about 3 o'clock, 2:30, 3 o'clock, and we would go it, and then we'd take it home. And little Caleb got one of those, what they had, a jumbo barbecue sandwich. And that jumbo barbecue sandwich is this big. I am not embellishing this. It was so big. And I said, "Caleb," I said, "what do you want?" He says, I want a jumbo. All right. And I said, "All right." So I got him a jumbo. He sat at the table, Brother Vernon. And I'll never forget this. These little boys' feet aren't touching the carpet or the ground. And he's sitting there eating at the table. And I'm cutting mine in half. And I'm going to save the rest for later. And he's sitting there eating. And he looked at me and he says, "Dad," I go, "what is it, baby Kay?" And he said, "I'm tearing this up." It's amazing. You look at your season's life and it's just like you blink and they're out of the house. And I've got to embrace this. And so when they come home on a weekend, it's noisy. They're playing the keyboard, they're playing a guitar, they are playing whatever, and they're making a bunch of noise and running on a treadmill and lifting weights and all these different things. And I want to embrace that season, because I keep thinking to myself, and they bring laundry home. And I'm telling you, that's not fun. Because, you know, I'm now to where I can just do laundry. I'm just having to do it about three times a week. That's it. When everybody was home was doing laundry every day, especially in the summer, every day doing laundry, every day. Now, when the boys get home, it is at least seven loads. I'm telling you, there are so much, including ours, too. And I want to embrace that because I keep thinking to myself, one of these days, these boys, they're going to be off. And they're going to have their own lives and their own homes and their own marriages and different things. And so I want to embrace that season. And so it's crucial to understand the rhythm of seasons. Number nine, everybody say this, never give up. I have that on my wrist. I've been wearing it since they had their, I guess it was called that special run they had here in Blytheville. And they brought it home. And I've been wearing it every time. Never give up. I was wearing a 9/11 bracelet. But then after they brought that home, after 9/11, I would wear this. And this, I wear it every day. And I remind myself, I'm never giving up with everything that's going on in my life. Yesterday was 4 years. And I posted that on Facebook. It's not about celebrating that I have this syndrome. It's celebrating God. And that's what this is about. I'm celebrating God. And I'm reminding myself I'll never give up. So seize the season you're in. Own the moment you have, but never give up on what God is doing through you as a life, through your life as a leader. And so my question is this. Are you putting extraordinary into practice? This is the whole reason we're having this leadership series, is for you, for me, for all of us, is to put this into practice. Our life point was great leaders develop leaders. In James 1 and 22, and it'll be on your screen, it says this. It says, but be ye what? Doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So how do I apply this to my life? So what, now what? Well, our life point is great leaders develop leaders. So here you go. Here's our application. Extraordinary leadership, and it should be on your screen. Have to skip down a little bit, if you will, Pastor Chris. There you go. Extraordinary leadership emerges from a commitment deep within us. Deep within us. You're called to be an extraordinary leader. God hasn't called you to a place of influence to leave you ill-equipped for the responsibility that follows. And that's something I want always you to remember. God always has made the way. He absolutely does. He gives us the tools necessary when He calls us. He gives us the tools. The simple formula to follow is this. Love God. Everybody say love God. Number two, love others. Everybody say love others. I think that's the best formula you can have. Love God and love others. Extraordinary doesn't mean perfect. So if someone's saying, oh man, that's extraordinary, nothing doesn't necessarily mean that person is perfect. It's just that they have learned in their failures to move forward, to press through. Extraordinary means the pursuit of God's great commandment. And so may your leadership be an overflow of all of who you are. A heart, which is what we've talked about, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And so what if we all determine tonight? That's what I want to do. I want to be an extraordinary leader. Before I leave this place, I want God to have my heart, my mind, my soul, my strength. And Lord, I want you to embed this into my life. Help me become the leader You've called me to be. I pray for my wife every day, and I pray, Father, help her to become the pastor. Not, I say, help her to become the mother, the wife, the pastor, the leader, the teacher that you've called her to be. And so let's stand together. My prayer is that you tonight lead by example, not in ways that it could be harmful, but in ways that is helpful. Amen. So let's do this. Let's all gather up front, and let's just kind of, and if you will, Pastor Christian.
To find out more information about who we are, our ministries, and our service times, please log on to our website at myglc.org.